You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Being the capital city, Sacramento frequently gets described as a government town, host to a plethora of state workers, government officials, and lawmakers. But another group is often overlooked in the public eye, a frequent at the Capitol, and plays a large role in how legislation gets crafted. Lobbyists. In 2024, CalMatters reported there were over 3,200 registered lobbyists, a record number at that time, which put the number of lobbyists to lawmakers at a ratio of over 25 to 1. While lobbyists have to register with the state and are listed publicly by the Secretary of State's office, knowing what impact they have on the lawmaking process can be harder to find. And two bills aimed at making lobbying more transparent here in California, they recently died in the state legislature. Ryan Sablo is a digital democracy reporter for CalMatters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state and has been following those bills, and he joins us with a postmortem. Welcome back to Insight.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Okay, so lobbying is something that we hear a lot about when it comes to the legislative process, when it comes to politics, but I'm not sure everyone, even myself included, has a really clear picture of how lobbying actually works. So how does lobbying work?
Well, so there's 2,000 bills around that much introduced almost every year, and there's groups of people for and against that legislation. Some of it is just, you know, nonprofits or, you know, casual advocates who don't have to register as lobbyists, but there are people whose job it is to influence legislation, and they have to register. And much of the process of getting a bill either killed or advanced happens in secret. It's a lot of meetings with lawmakers in their offices, you know, fundraiser dinners, you know, that sort of thing. And all of these bills, not all of those 2,000 bills advance, but the ones that do are often decided in advance. You get the sense that there are very few surprises in the Capitol. Everybody knows what's going to happen and how people are going to vote. And part of the way that they know that is because they've had these conversations with lobbyists in advance, and they know how they're going to vote. And so these letters that we're going to talk about here in a minute provide one of the few windows into what the different groups that are lining up for and against legislation feel about all these myriad bills and outline the consequences of those bills.
Yeah. So given that there are thousands of lobbyists across the state, a record number by CalMatters' own reporting from back in 2024, and just hearing from you now, there seems to be a really wide variety and scale of organizations and also ways to influence the lawmaking process.
Yes, that's true. But influence that happens when you're a lobbyist tends to be much more intensive than what an ordinary voter would have. I mean, you could call your lawmaker, you could send a letter, you could show up at their events in their districts, and of course you can vote. But to be able to actually influence the legislation the way that a registered lobbyist has, you don't have the same ability to, you know, be in their office, to meet them at the fundraiser, to have all of the money that the group that is paying you, right, that is behind you, to be able to deploy for campaign donations and things like that. They call themselves and members of the Capitol call them the third house for a reason. Because they are that influential in the Capitol. And it's not just here. There's lobbyists in D.C. There's lobbyists in every state house in the country.
So at the heart of these two bills is to make position letters open to the public in the spirit of transparency. So what are position letters?
So registered lobbyists and advocacy groups and members of the public, correspondence from members of the public are not public records. They're exempted from the law. But what's called the Legislative Open Records Act, registered lobbyists and advocacy groups can submit letters on bills and say, hey, this version of the bill I have problems with, or I think it's really great, and here's ways that I think that this bill can be fixed, or here's why you should kill it, or whatever, right? They can submit those letters through a portal on the legislature's website, and lawmakers and their staffs get access to all of those letters. Other members of the public, including other lobbyists, actually have to request those letters from the committees or from the lawmakers themselves. And if you think about the sheer volume of these letters, right? There's, you know, like I said, there's 2,000 bills around that much get introduced every year. You could have dozens of bills or dozens of letters for each bill through each stage of the process, right? The bill gets modified through the process. And so other states have gotten around this request system that California has by just posting them on their website. And so there's 10 states that have done that. There are Republican states like West Virginia. There are Democrat states like Hawaii that post them. And these two bills, which were sponsored by Common Cause, which is a good government group, sought to do the same here in California.
And the bills, one is from a Democrat lawmaker and the other is a Republican, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Greg Wallace was the Republican who introduced his bill. Rebecca Bauer-Kahn, she represents the San Ramon area. She introduced the other.
Were you able to talk to these lawmakers who authored this legislation about why they did so?
I was able to talk to Wallace early in the process. You know, he was kind of befuddled that these letters weren't public at all. Like he lawmakers don't get have as much of the handing out of the letters as their staff members do, right? And so he just assumed that these were public. So when somebody told him that they're not, he said, you know, this would be a really good way to kind of add some transparency to the process. I was never able to connect with Rebecca Bauer-Kahn.
So when thinking of these position letters, you know, at the Capitol, of course, there's public testimony that is public. You know, you can rewatch it, especially with, you know, the digital democracy tab that CalMatters has. But that's available to the public. So why wouldn't a position letter be in the same ballpark as testifying in front of lawmakers for or against a piece of legislation?
Well, when I these bills would have to go through what's called the Rules Committee. It's kind of, sort of the internal. It's like the housekeeping committee for the they set the rules for the legislature. So these would have to, these were assembly bills, so they'd have to go through assembly rules. I talked with I got a statement from the rules chair, Blanca Pacheco. She represents the Downey area. And she said that, you know, we think we could post these, but there's a lot of stuff we got to do. We got to make sure that it complies with accessibility requirements. We might have to upgrade the website. We might have to get funding for it. A lot of excuses about why this couldn't happen when other states have figured out a way to do this. And so we'll see. She is indicative that she would like to, or she's indicating that she would like to move forward with this without a bill. But with one of the things that the advocates who are pushing for this say, without a bill, there's no deadline. There's no urgency. So right. It's kind of now at their discretion of how whether this could actually happen.
So I guess what would be the other way if they don't actually make it a law?
Well, they could just go through rules and mandate that they post it. Right. It doesn't necessarily have to be a law to do that.
Yeah.
So
that is really interesting. When it comes to, I guess, the lifespan of these two bills, in your reporting, they didn't even receive a hearing.
That's
so they
correct.
Didn't really get much time.
They didn't get any time. So they got basically spiked by leadership before they had a chance to get a hearing. They could still, the deadline for the bills to pass through the assembly is Friday. So still technically, they could still get a hearing if rules meets this week. But it seems very unlikely at this point.
Has this been attempted before, this type of legislation in California?
Not that I know of. And lobbyists in themselves have been telling me that this is something that they would love to see because you know, they expect these records, these letters to be public. Many of them do anyway. And they put a lot of thought into these letters. I mean, I request these when I write about bills. I always go to the lawmaker's office and say, give me the supporters and opponents letters if you can. And they usually provide them. They detail like exactly why they feel this bill is bad. Here are the potential problems for it, or good, right? Here's why this bill is great. They offer potential compromise of how they could amend the bill to address the concerns. And when you think about this in terms of value to the public, this is the only way that we can see sort of what's happening inside these lawmaker offices with lobbyists as they try to negotiate how these bills get shaped. And some of the lobbyists that I've talked to said it's a pain for them, and they know the process as good as anybody does, right? To be able to request, they may be lobbying on 15 bills this session or more, right? They have to go through and request these letters themselves. And they also say it's kind of you would imagine the burden this puts on legislative staff to have to deal with requests for letters from different groups. You might have 50 people, 50 different organizations supporting or opposing your bill. Do you want to spend all your staff time like handing out letters to the different groups? And so it just kind of, from their perspective, it also makes sense to post these letters online. And from the digital democracy standpoint, what we would love to do is be able to post these for free on Digital Democracy and incorporate them into our bill pages so that, say, you can click on, and we did this for our partners in Hawaii, that we have Digital Democracy in Hawaii, where you can actually pull up the letters themselves. So you can see the testimony, you can see the position letters, you can see it all in one place. It's very cool. And we'd love to be able to do that.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Ryan Sabolo with CalMatters about his recent reporting on two lobbying transparency bills that died in the state legislature. So let's get into that effort to make this real-time access to these public records possible via CalMatters and Digital Democracy. I mean, that is just such a really relatively easy-to-use database for the general public, for reporters. You go back years, you can search for a bill. You can search for one person who testified for or against, and then
can type in keywords. My favorite thing to do is to type in, when I show people the site, you could type in curse words into Digital Democracy and see how many times your lawmakers have cursed in public, which is kind of fun.
Okay, that's the fun part. But, I mean, how would having these letters improve this Digital Democracy platform?
Well, so right now, the only way that we know if what organizations think about legislation is in their brief testimony when they come up in public and they say, the way it works in the legislature is you only get supporters and opponents in a typical committee hearing get 4 minutes per side to describe their argument. And then everyone else who might come up and testify, they don't get to testify at all. They can only say, hey, I'm so-and-so with the Chamber of Commerce, and we respectfully oppose this bill. Then the next person goes to the mic. So you don't get a lot of nuance about what they're actually saying. 4 minutes isn't a lot of time to talk about, these are tax bills and these incredibly complex pieces of legislation. What else that the public can see is the committees and the chambers put out what are called analyses for each piece of legislation that's going to be voted on. And what it is a summary of what the bill does, who supports and opposes it, and some history behind the bill. They have to keep it not all the time, but they try to keep it as tight as possible and to try to summarize all of this stuff. And I suspect they do as good a job as they can to summarize the different views from the different groups. But, I mean, it's a summary, right? If you wanted to see what, if you're writing about a recycling bill and the recycling industry says, hey, this bill has some serious problems and here's what they are, I'm not sure that they're going to get into that level of nuance. And from a database perspective, think of how much more searchable stuff you could find and that we could do analyses on to look for how often is the same language appearing in these position letters. We could do some really, really cool data analysis with this stuff that could really help shed light on trends and, tactics that lobbying organizations are doing. And right now it's just too unwieldy to get these in, we're requesting them in bulk from the legislature, but they're
like public records request.
Yeah, and we're getting them trickling in, but it's well after the bills have already moved. So at that point, bills change significantly through the process. So we are getting the example I put in my story. We requested position letters from January, and we got them just this month. By then, many of those bills had already died, or they'd been modified, or they'd already passed.
Wow. I guess, where do things stand now? I mean, the bills died in the legislature, but the effort on your part to get access to these public records remains. I guess, where do things stand today?
Well, I'm going to file another records request for the latest tranche of these. We haven't posted these on our website. We're still trying to figure out if it's got value, if they're so old, right? But we are requesting them, and we will eventually post these as we get them. But the next thing is, since these bills are likely dead for the year, it's kind of up to the legislative leadership to decide whether this is something they feel has value for the public. And at this point, they've indicated that they do think it will. And it's, but when and how much money and all the things that they've been, all the various excuses they gave about why they couldn't just do this without the bill are still out there.
Yeah, but even though you had lawmakers draft legislation, I mean, you had leadership in the legislature that didn't bring it up for a hearing.
That's correct.
So it's like a cul-de-sac, you know, it doesn't,
right.
Obviously it doesn't move forward. If you're just the public listening to this, we only have about, you know, 30 seconds, a minute or so left. And you actually want to be more informed about this, a particular piece of legislation. What other ways can the public access this type of information in a way that's like user friendly?
Well, the easiest way to be able to do that is if you have a current bill that you're following, figure out which committee is in and request from that committee to get the position letters from that on that particular piece of legislation. Sometimes the committees, which I don't think they're supposed to do, but they do it anyway, they refer me back to the author of the bill, and I have to request it from them. Sometimes they make you file a formal request under the Legislative Open Records Act to get these. Sometimes you don't. It's a very clunky, unwieldy, and confusing process. But that's at this point. Oh, the other thing is you could just ask the if you have a way to get a hold of somebody at the lobbying organization that you really want to see, ask them, you know, hey, I'd like to see your position letter. And sometimes I've had better luck getting it from the actual advocates than from the legislature itself.
Well, Ryan, thank you for just writing out the clunkiness, hopefully smoothing it out for the rest of us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
That is CalMatters digital democracy reporter Ryan Sabolo talking to us about two lobbying transparency bills that died in the state legislature. Still ahead, Grammy Award-winning composer Gabriela Lanafranc has had quite the year, earning a Pulitzer and becoming the first Latina composer for the Met. Our CAP Radio classical host Jennifer Reason sits down with her. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.